Well, hello and welcome to this edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. Glad to have you with us on a cool Monday morning here in the city as we listen to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station, right here in Kansas City. Interesting topics for you to enjoy during the course of the program today. Probably things that will lead to a lot of discussion out there. And I always look forward to people saying, we had a discussion at work about the show. And hey, that pleases me a great deal. This may be one of the shows that will stimulate some conversation. We're going to talk with our friends over at the Kansas City Actors Theater, where they are about to open a new show called A Number. A number. What could that possibly be? Well, it is my belief, after doing a lot of reading over the weekend, that cloning is not just a theory. It is my belief that it is probably going on out there right now somewhere. Who knows where in the world? Human beings are growing up from being cloned right now. That probably won't become apparent for a while, but that's my belief anyway from the research I've done. With me to tell us about the play that's going on, they don't know that much about the cloning, they said, but they do know a lot about the play, is the director, Mark Robbins. He's been an actor for many years, a director, a producer as well, with the Rep, Actors Theater, other theaters as well, done things all over the Shakespeare Festival, many, many things. In the capacity of director in this show. Gary Neil Johnson is with us. He plays the role of Salter. He has been performing, it says here, for 40 years. Is that true?
I think.
Who told you that?
He's primarily known for his role as Ebenezer Scrooge at the Kansas City Repertory Theater doing the Christmas Carol, but has a lot of other credits as well. I did a bang-up job as Willie Loomis a few years ago in Death of a Salesman.
Thanks, Mike.
Done Shakespeare. Lots of things. He's with us as well. Matthew
Schmidley.
Schmidley. Okay, I hope I get that right for you.
No, that's fine.
He plays the role of Bernard 1, 2, and Michael Black. Explanations will follow. A director, an actor, playwright, has worked across the country in film and theater, performed with the Arkansas Shakespeare Theater, and did the show Boiler Bites for the Big Ten Network. Do you still do that?
No, since I moved from Indiana to Missouri.
It originates in Indiana. Mm-hmm. So you got into the sports casting as well as the acting.
Whatever pays the bills.
That's right. That would be my thinking as well. It's called A Number, and I guess when you're a clone, you get a number. What attracted Actors Theater to us?
We all had to get barcodes tattooed on our bodies before we started rehearsals.
Which makes sense.
Just to tell us apart.
Sure.
The title refers to not an actual digital number, but it refers to a quantity. A quantity of, a number of clones, as it happens in this case. It's a father and son play, really, in kind of classic, Eugene O'Neill fashion, I think. But not written by Eugene O'Neill, written by Carol Churchill, very, very, very fine playwright. I think whatever opinions the three of us may have had of Carol Churchill going into this project, we find ourselves in the middle of it, but just before opening, with a far greater respect for her abilities to tell a story, her abilities with text and language. It's a very dense, deep script and a deep text, and we still find things about it that illuminate further, the sort of story she's trying to tell. It's just great. It's been very rewarding, I think, for me, and I think for these guys too. They seem to be engaged at a high level.
With only maybe four punctuation marks and only a couple of capital letters from the beginning to the end. Yeah, she doesn't give you much help. Not that we want more than is there, but in this particular play, I'm told it's not true of all her plays, but truly, very little punctuation, very little capitalization. She gives you the words, and make of them what you will.
Really?
Which has been part of the challenge, but also part of the fun of solving that particular puzzle.
Yeah, that's that usually done with playwrights, is it? Aren't they very strict about how they want things done, usually?
Everybody's different.
Yeah, Churchill really experiments in different forms with almost every play she writes. She can't be pinned down. She jumps from genre to genre and style to style. It's really impressive, astounding. And in this play, I mean, these guys are finding out that she's really tapped into, it's a very contemporary play, in that one way in which it is a contemporary play, is that we as people, especially when we're talking about things that are new, that we haven't really thought out, and like cloning is very new, you know, the concept of a clone, how someone who has been cloned without their knowledge and suddenly finds out that they have clones of themselves running around, how you deal with that, how you try to process that information. And when we as humans find ourselves in a situation of trying to process new information and talk about it to other people, we often talk in fragmented sentences and we don't complete thoughts and there's hardly a period to be had. I mean, you know, anytime, I mean, you talk to people on this show all the time, and how often does it happen? And I would wager quite often, probably right now, people don't complete a thought. They don't get all the way through to a period. They start to say something and then they realize, well, that's not exactly what I meant. And here's a better way of putting it. And so, but then they lose their track and they lose their train of thought and they have to stop and go back to the beginning. She's really tapped into that.
Okay.
And that's very challenging for these guys to learn, to memorize. But it's very rewarding in the playing of it, I think.
Well, I bet so. Now, the first clone was a sheep. From my reading.
Dolly. Was it Dolly?
It was like, it was at least 20 years ago, maybe longer.
I think you're right.
And didn't Dolly go on to kill a lot of other sheep? Or is that just something I read? That may have been on a conspiracy blog.
But went on to shear a lot of other sheep. I don't think they were murders.
Serial shearing.
Serial shearing would be good. But it's hard for me to believe that 20 plus years has passed, and this hasn't progressed further. I just can't buy that.
But you think that there is rampant cloning
going on? You think there are farms of human beings?
I wouldn't say rampant, but I think it's happening somewhere.
Yeah. Well, I wonder why? Why would anybody? Why wouldn't anybody? Well, why? Well, when there are other ways to do it that are a lot more
natural and enjoyable.
Why does mankind do any of the stupid things they do?
Well, there you go.
Fair enough. That's very unusual.
We do it because not because it's easy, but because it's hard.
Yeah. Hard. You got the hard R pretty good in there. Yeah. Now, do you want to give Matthew a brief synopsis of the show so the audience can get caught up on
it? Yeah, be prepared to be buzzed.
Yeah. I know you're not going to tell us too much.
Sure. It's a short show, and there's a lot of twists and turns and secrets that we don't want to do.
Right.
So
I will be
tread carefully.
As camouflaged as I can here.
Right. And you have multiple roles, so I thought I'd let you have the crack at this.
I have multiple roles, and what's tricky about these multiple roles is that they are...
One of them is a dog.
One's a dog, one's a sheep. I go around shearing other sheep. No, but I play different versions of the same guy. They are clones. I think we can say that much. That much is obvious. I'm not going to say how many of... me there are in the show, but there are a number, if you will, they each have their own unique interactions with Salter and the role that he plays or will play in their lives. And that's basically what it's about. These clones, their relationships with Salter, how they form their relationships, and really also the big question of nature versus nurture, I think, is really important in this and something that Carol Churchill's really tapped into, and how the same person under different circumstances might turn out to be a completely different person at the same point in their life.
I guess the argument of environmental effects when raising as opposed to genetics, and both play a part.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
In the book and later movie, Boys from Brazil, that was part of the thinking in that. What would actually happen to the
You think there's a Hitler out there, don't you?
I'm not sure. I'm kind of afraid. We never know. Now, why does Salter get himself involved in something like this?
Well, there you go. That's exactly what I don't want to tell you. But he does set the action in motion. And one thing leads to another, and
hilarity
what
results.
Else, and what else can I not say? Yes. The zany antics of Salter, of Dad. He becomes Dad to more than he had in mind.
Well, one of the cool things about this play for me, and the fact that Carol Churchill wrote it, is one of the things I really enjoy about Carol Churchill's work is she's a lefty. You know, she's a politically, and I think
perhaps left-handed as well.
Yeah. Maybe she's politically left, and she tends to write quite often with those principles in mind. And here was an opportunity because, you know, cloning from a religious point of view and from a from a conservative point of view, a social conservative point of view, that's kind of a hot button topic. Could be, you know, I mean, I think generally the right, and especially the religious right, would have viewed it as an abomination, as an act against God, et cetera, et cetera. You know, whenever it comes up, it's kind of a polarizing topic in that way. But she has avoided all of that, really, and has brought it down to a very, very human and familial level. I mean, it turns into a play about a father and a son, and you know, I mean, that's a classic dramatic trope, as it were, a situation, but from a completely different set of inciting circumstances. But it addresses a lot of things, like just a feeling of alienation, an existential. What is your existential reality? I mean, just imagine. She talks about the effects that something like that, were it happening, were it possible, would have on people, on humans, and on human relationships. And so, you know, imagine yourself suddenly finding out that there's another you. Around.
Well,
what would that do to you?
It wouldn't be just like you. It'd be much younger than you.
Well, not necessarily. What if you were one of a number that were all created at the same time?
So you're saying that clones created close together that would be about the same age and
could be octuplets or something.
Yeah,
probably exactly the same age. Yeah, and what makes me me. And what makes me different from you, or even if you had a twin, and this isn't really the issue either, but if you have a twin, an identical twin, why are we alike, exactly alike in these ways, and so different in these ways? Have the same parents, and you know, and raised under the same.
But yet, almost all siblings are different, and in some instances, very different from each other. And I would think a clone wouldn't be any different. That would be like having a twin. Now, they would look like you, and they might
be genetically identical to you.
But their interests might be, that's something else in my mind. Their interests might be entirely different. Mm-hmm. Instead of your clone Gary being an actor, he might be deathly afraid of speaking in public.
Mm-hmm.
it's possible. You know, so I guess all of these have to be taken into consideration.
And how you would react to finding out that there was a clone of yourself somewhere says a lot about you and your sense of self, of identity and of self-worth. All of this is covered, really, within a very short play. It's really packed.
Yeah, I would think they'd have to think of it as if they had a twin or a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the logical, but maybe I think too logically. Do they think emotionally?
That's what you would want to think about it.
Emotionally, do the twins have a different psychological makeup from each other?
Yeah, I think so. I think we certainly explore that, and I think Carol explores that with the script, and that's something that Mark has directed us to tap into. Certainly how they respond to the emotions of the situation are drastically different between the different versions of the son that we see in this play. And yeah, I mean, that's something we certainly talked about. How are they emotionally the same? How are they emotionally different? You know, what are the differentiations between them, even physically, just depending on how life is.
I got to say, it's a great challenge for an actor and a great opportunity. I mean, depending on how you look at it. Mm-hmm. Well, it is a challenge no matter how you look at it. But whether it's a challenge you welcome or a challenge you're deathly afraid of. but it's a great opportunity for an actor to play multiple versions of the same person. Different from what we usually do. I mean, if we're called upon, you know, we've all been called upon to play multiple roles within a play, but usually they're kind of widely divergent characters, and it kind of gives you a chance to show range or to explore different aspects of the human animal in that way. But this is a different thing. I mean, you're basically, and it is directly analogous to, I think, the job of an actor. I mean, mm-hmm. all you've got as an actor is this unit right here. You know, this meat unit right here, and voice and everything. But you're called upon to take this unit and morph it slightly to be to be believable as someone else, uh-huh. as another person. So that's another thing I like about the play is that Carol Churchill knows the medium she's writing for, and I think she very purposefully gives this opportunity to an actor because it is, as I say, directly analogous to the art of acting in a way.
I read about her. I read about her past work and all that. Nothing told me what motivated her to write this play. Have you learned anything like that?
She's not talking.
She's not talking? Because she has it. She's a clone.
She might have a clone. Yeah, sure, yeah. It came out in what? Early
2000s.
2002, I think, or something like that. And I don't even today, is cloning, would you say that cloning is a hot topic today?
Probably.
I would say no.
Only on the sci-fi channel.
And exactly. And in 2002, I don't know that cloning was a hot topic. What's that? 14 years ago.
Yeah.
I think we can't say that she wrote it to deal with a hot topic of the time.
Well, there have been.
So I can't answer your question.
There have been science fiction stories where people are thinking, "Well, I'll live forever. I'll clone myself." But I think I see the flaw in that right away. That's not going to be you. That is someone mm-hmm. else who happens to genetically be like you, but that's not you. Yeah. So that won't be you'll still
until we find a way of uploading consciousness from one.
There you go. Well, that's a more complicated topic, of course. But
that's another thing I like about the play is that it's a sci-fi play, and there aren't many of those. And I love them whenever they appear. I mean, you know, they're always done with varying degrees of success and relevance. I think this is a great one.
Well, you'll have to get
certainly one of my top five sci-fi plays.
Well, you'll have to get someone from the university to come over and do a question and answer with people after the show. I'm sure they'll have questions. And if they don't have that, they'll want a question here.
Sadly, we have no answers. So it'll be there'll be interesting Q&A session.
Three well-educated men with no answers.
We don't know. Good question. Next. Well, Michael Hoge thinks that everything is happening right now.
And I think that, to me,
I think he mentioned Lee's Summit. I think that it's happening in Lee's Summit.
It could very well be Lee's Summit, yes. That would fit right in. We're speaking with the director and two of the actors in the Kansas City Actors Theater production of A Number. It opens in 2 days, Wednesday the 20th at 7:30 p.m. Also, the performances continue then on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday afternoon matinee, and that happens for essentially the next 3 weeks. Or mm-hmm.
Sounds right.
3 weeks.
There are some question and answer sessions scheduled, actually.
Oh, good.
So they can find out when those are if you want to come see. Mark won't be around for those.
Oh, yes, I will.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you want to see three people.
Yeah, that makes me feel better.
Sit up there and not answer any questions.
Is this the first Actors Theater performance at the Maybe Theater?
It is. Kansas City Actors Theater has been kind of peripatetic, is that the word?
Nomadic?
Itinerant. Sure. Itinerant, yeah. generally, they've always been on the lookout for different places to perform, to turn into venues. And I don't know how they found the Maybe Theater, which has been there all this time. But I think it was just a fortunate confluence of scheduling and scheduling mostly and connections. But I mean, we know those people. You know, we know the people at Rockhurst. Dr. Proctor, Susan Proctor, is actually, and she hasn't for a while. She's the head of the program there.
Yeah,
and she's also in her earlier life was a stage manager, and here she gets to dust off the stage manager's cap and be an SM again, and she's having a great time, and she's been a valuable resource for us in producing this play, and it's a really nice, you know, it's as opposed to some of the places we've played, it's outfitted to be a theater. It's already got the infrastructure there, and I'm amazed kind of at the way that the designers have created an atmosphere for this play in that theater. It's very impressive.
The Maybe Theater, if you in Sedgwick, call on the Rockhurst University campus. That's on Troost. We're about 55th and Troost, something like that.
Yeah, 52nd and be the right 52nd. Between 52nd and 53rd.
The number to call for tickets is the usual central ticket office number is 816-235-6222. And online at the Actors Theater website.
I would go to the Actors Theater website. Okay. That'd be the first place I'd go to find tickets. KCActors.org.
Yeah, KCActors.org. We're speaking with the director Mark Robbins. Salter is played by Gary Neil Johnson. Matthew
Schmidley.
Schmidley. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
It's in the show as well. Sounds like a challenge. Playing different. Did you give each clone a different personality?
Yeah, I'd say so, absolutely. Yeah, they're
they are different people.
They are, they're different people.
They look alike, but they are different people.
And we also Mark had a great idea early on before we even started the rehearsal process of having these three different versions of the same guy kind of raised in different parts of the country and how that really affects them.
Would be very different, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's absolutely been a wonderful challenge. But I got to give credit where credit's due. Mark Robbins, as everyone who's listening can now tell, is a brilliant man. And working with Gary Neil Johnson has been fantastic. They're both wonderful, true professionals, and I just ride their coattails to hopeful success here.
What brought you here to the area? You've worked all over.
I'm from Independence originally. So I came back here after getting my master's at Purdue University, and I've been back for a couple years back to the area here. So I wanted to return home. I'm a rabid sports fan as well, so I got back just in time for the World Series.
Oh, wow.
So, it's good to be back here. I love the market here. I would like to, continue to work in this market, and that was my draw. I wanted to come back home to what I thought was a wonderful arts community.
Sure. Well, you've, part of it. You've probably seen both of these guys before.
I have. Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. Yeah, I've had the joy of working with Mark before on Hamlet this past year, and I've seen Gary's work for many years as well. So, yeah, it's really good to be back in town and working in a great market.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's sounds like a very thinking person's play.
It is. I see why Mark chose it, and I can't imagine anyone more fitted to direct this play because every day up until yesterday, we find something new. But just in a line, in a portion of a line, we discover something that we didn't realize was there, or at least I didn't, And it's never ending, and it's beautiful in that way because Carol has written such a deep intellectual path to discovery for us, and then hopefully the audiences will feel the same thing when they come to see the show.
Yeah, voiced by often inarticulate characters.
It's true. It's wild. Yeah. Are you the only two performers in the show?
We are.
Only two.
Mm-hmm.
Just us. Well, that's a burden. Yours being a little more with several different characters.
Sure. Yeah. It's what we run off. We change quickly, and I come back on as
I've got the easy job of the two. I'm just the same guy, who we find out through the course of the rather short play, we find out a lot about him.
Uh-huh.
But he's, at least he's just one guy.
But interestingly enough, he hasn't been the same guy for all of his life.
Right, and you know, the subject of change and identity and the ability to change oneself and the legitimacy of change. Are you the person that you were born to be, or and is any change that you might make a sham? You can't get out of what you were born to be or who you were born to be. Anyway, she raises that issue too.
And to throw something different into the mix, you've probably heard the stories as well as me. People get into accidents, they have a head injury, they are completely different
after
they've had that. So something in there has changed.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And
I just saw a movie about that. Seriously, I wish I could remember.
The people who now speak with an accent.
Oh, sure.
I mean, you know, they you know, as you say, they have some kind of head trauma, and now they speak with a French accent.
Yes, they speak French, and they've never studied
French. Speak French. Yes, exactly. Yeah. They speak the language. Yeah.
Yeah. Does it have something to do with the French? Who knows?
Even less physiologically. I mean, just if people who find themselves at rock bottom or, you know, mm-hmm. and need to make a major change in their life's course, how is that possible? How possible is that? And what would be involved in making it stick? You know,
sure.
Those ideas are kind of explored in the play as well.
All being explored in the Kansas City Actors Theater production of A Number. It opens this Wednesday, the 20th, at 7:30. Performances continue then on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evenings. A Sunday afternoon matinee the next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all at 7:30. A Sunday afternoon matinee on the 31st at 2. Then three more additional performances. Now, I had them down for a Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So the Monday must be a...
probably an industry night
performance. That is on the 1st of February. Then performances continue. Then the 3rd, the 4th, the 5th, the 6th. The 7th is a matinee, February 7th. And then two more performances on Thursday, the 25th and the 26th at To Be Determined.
Really?
Oh, well. That's what it said on
the... Wait a minute. Determined it by now.
And that's on the 25th and 26th of
February. A long time after when it says it closes.
Mm-hmm. Right,
that's a mistake.
Yeah, that's a mistake.
Check the website for
up-to-date information.
KCActors.org to do that.
Because, frankly, I can't be there.
I will have moved on as well at that point.
Okay. If you read it at the same place I did, disregard that.
We'll be wearing other costumes.
I see. I get it now. Gary's clone is going to be.
Yeah.
I get it now. I'm stupid sometimes, but I catch on.
Yeah, right now his clone is only 2 feet high, it might be a problem.
We've got some rapid growing to go.
The number to call is the Central Ticket Office for more information, 816-235-6222 or kcactors.org. I want to thank my guest, Mark Robbins, the director, Gary Neil Johnson, who plays the role of Salter.
Pleasure,
Matthew Schmidley.
Nailed it.
Who plays the role of, several roles in the show. Mm-hmm. And you'll see, when you see, A Number for being performed by the Kansas City Actors Theater. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break. When we return, we have much more to send your way when we come back. You're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI, 90.1 FM. Welcome back to the Arts Magazine show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. We're going to travel on south of Midtown, south of the plaza, over to the Jewish Community Center, the J, as I'm supposed to be calling it, where it is just about time for the Jewish Film Festival to kick off for this year. It opens up with films beginning on January the 23rd. That's a Saturday at 7 o'clock p.m. Performances continue continue on, I should say showings, continue on the 24th at 2 o'clock p.m. Sunday for basically the rest of the month of January, spilling into the middle of February. I know that's confusing, but with us to help guide us, and we'll get this all straight now, dates and times of all that. With us is Tabitha Smith. She is the new Cultural Arts Director over at the J. She's with us to help guide us through what's going on at the center and talk about the Jewish Film Festival, which opens at the 23rd. Welcome to the show.
You
haven't been on before. I guess you're basically new to the job.
I am, only a couple of months.
Do you come to us from another area?
Well, my background's visual arts, and I've been at the Nelson Kansas City Art Institute, some pretty well-known arts organizations here in Kansas City.
Sure. Yeah. So you're used to talking about things involved in the arts.
Yes.
The job probably involves things beyond arts, of course.
A lot of cultural, and definitely the Jewish connection piece is really important to us.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. And each of these films have a Jewish connection.
Yes, they do. Right? Yes. Jewish twist, as we like to say. Yeah, in some fashion or form.
Has the festival been going on for very many years?
17 years, mm-hmm. Yes. So it has been going on quite some time. And it is definitely something that's really important to the community. We do have community committee and lay leaders that help us pick the films and push the festival itself.
Sure. Now, they have a big auditorium there.
The White Theater, yes.
The White Theater is a great facility. I've seen a lot of theater there.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, if you listen to the show on a regular basis, you know we talk often
yes.
to the director and members of the cast of shows over there. And they all tell me the same thing. It's a great facility. I've seen several shows there myself,
mm-hmm.
musicals as well as regular plays as well. It's a great facility. It can be made even bigger
yes.
by moving back a curtain and
mm-hmm.
back and even more attendance.
Yep.
So all the movies are going to be in this auditorium?
They are. We are actually putting in a screen. We've got some funding, and so it will go in, and we'll be showing the films in the White Theater, 500 seats, beautiful environment, excellent sound, lighting. It's a very, very comfortable place to watch a film, a play, or a musical.
You might mm-hmm. remember years ago, the Jewish Community Center was on Holmes. I want to say 77th, 78th
yep.
in Holmes, and I was actually in a few shows over there.
Yes.
Way back.
I've been doing it a long time.
A very young actor, very young.
Yes.
That was a fine place. They moved, I guess, as the public moves,
that's
as the
right.
Jewish community moves,
yep.
they moved on.
Demographics, geographic location.
So
yes.
they are currently, the J is located, or the whole Jewish Community mm-hmm. Center is located at 5801 West 115th Street. Essentially, that's 115th and Null, right by the Sprint campus in Overland Park, Kansas. If you MapQuest things, you need the zip code, and that is 66211. If you like to do things online, many people do. I do. I do so much online these days. The address to go to is thejkc.org. And the number to call, if you want to make inquiries that way, is 913-327-8054.
That's it.
And as I said, the festival begins on January 23rd. For the most part, it looks like it's weekends, except for towards the end, when you have a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Was there any thought that went into the scheduling?
Well, actually, because the Royals were doing so well, we were supposed to do the film festival in October, but lo and behold, the Royals, and of course, won it. We decided to move it to the January-February slot. So it's different kind of than it's been in the past. But, you know, I look at January and February. I call January the quiet, boring, cold month. This is a great month to get out, go sit in a warm, cozy theater, and watch some exceptional films.
Well, let's talk about some of these films. I suppose we should go in the order that they're being shown. So I'm going to look first at the opening night of the festival, Saturday, January 23rd, starting at 7 o'clock p.m., what film will debut for the festival?
This one is A Blind Hero, The Love of Otto White. And I apologize if I said that wrong,
mm-hmm.
But it tells, that idea of saving Jews and keeping them out of harm's way, but he actually falls in love with one of the Jewish people that worked at his factory, and he followed her to Auschwitz. So, it's kind of a love story, but a war story, you know, human condition.
So the setting for the film is the World War II year.
It is. It is. A lot of them have a Holocaust or war or Germany. I mean, it's deeply rooted in the Jewish community, and you see it a lot.
I've been to the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem. It's it's a fabulous place to visit. If you're, I know you just can't drop by there on a weekend. You have to plan a trip. It was a very extensive. I can't say enough about the number of pictures, the number of documentary things that were going on film-wise over there, plus the relics of those days. They had an actual train car from the era. Things like that, and any film associated with that now gets my attention.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Now, does it say who's in it or who's directing the film?
Let me look here. You know, I don't have that information with me. It is online.
It's available online.
Yeah, it is all online, and there's really excellent summaries and, you know, good meat on what the films are about, so people can go out and read all the information.
Okay, so the title, once again, is?
A Blind Hero.
A Blind Hero, and that will debut the film festival on January 23rd. That's a Saturday at 7 o'clock. PM. Now, performances continue. Screenings continue the next day. January the 24th at 2 o'clock p.m. That's a Sunday, an afternoon matinee, which they will be showing.
This one is Bessa, The Promise.
Wow.
And this one is actually kind of, it's being co-sponsored with the Sisterhood of Salaam Shalom, which is an interfaith sort of peace, you know, get along group. And this one is good. It has Jewish and Muslim connections in it, that a story plays out with sort of different viewpoints and phases and how it comes together.
Things are hard.
They are. Yeah, they're tough. Yeah.
I've been to the old city of Jerusalem, the same trip.
And there's the same thing happening in there.
It's kind of a clash of cultures all in one place. And that just needs to be better understood, I think, that goes on. So that film will be shown on January the 24th at 2 o'clock p.m. That's a Sunday. And again, as Tabitha said earlier, if you want to look these up online, go to the JKC.org, and you can probably read all you want to read about each particular film.
Yes, I'm not giving as many details as I probably should, but it's better to read it, I think.
Okay, there's two films on the 24th, one we just talked about at 2 in the afternoon. There's an evening performance at 7 on January 24th, and that one would be
The Eichmann Show. And this one is being co-sponsored with the Midwest Center for Holocaust Education, which is a tenant also in the Jewish campus. Sure. So we're, you know, in the same place. And this one is the story of Adolf Eichmann and the Final Solution, and him being on trial. It's telling the story of his trial.
The story of his trial. Yeah, that would be very interesting.
Yes,
as well. At Nuremberg, I would imagine. Set at Nuremberg during the post-war years.
That sounds correct. Yes, Nuremberg trials. Yeah.
I'm just speculating. Any information about the director or anything?
Leo Hurwitz is the director on this one.
Yeah, sounds very interesting. Yeah. Sad, but folks, we have to learn about these things and why they happened, and that's the only way you can avoid things like that happening again.
That's exactly right.
Learn things,
from history.
Things like that as we go along. We've just been joined by Sean Edwards. He is the producer of the Jewish Film Festival. He's joining myself and Tabitha Smith, the cultural arts director at the J, talking about some of the films at the festival. You're down there in Miami with the Glitterati down there, Sean?
Yeah, I'm working in Miami. Just watched a really good movie called 13 Hours about the incident that happened in Benghazi.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting film as well. We've been talking about the first weekend of films. Do you have any comments you want to make about the ones we may have talked about so far?
Blind Hero, Bessa, and The Eichmann Show.
Definitely. I mean, all three of the movies are amazing. We kick it off opening night with The Blind Hero, and Blind Hero is a fairly new Jewish film. Hasn't played in many Jewish film festivals around the country, so we're really proud of that story. It's an amazing story, and it's a great way to kick off the Kansas City Jewish Film Festival, which is now in its 17th year.
Okay, and then the 24th, there was two films we talked about.
Bessa and
The Eichmann Show. Bessa, The Promise, is actually a documentary. It's a feature-length documentary, and the second film is The Eichmann Show. The Eichmann Show is a fairly new movie as well. It's a feature movie, and that's one of the things we're really trying to do this year with the festival, is balance it out with feature films and documentaries, so we don't go too heavy in one direction or another.
What was it like putting this together, Sean? Did you have a committee? Did you watch a lot of film?
No, without doubt, we had a great committee. We have a terrific group of people, about 17 total. And what we do early on in the process is we kind of scan the field to see what's out there in terms of Jewish film or Jewish-themed films that are out there. And believe it or not, there's an amazing amount of Jewish-themed films that are being produced today, especially out of Israel. The Israeli filmmaking is tremendous right now. And I have an advantage because throughout the year I attend several major film festivals, and you can scan the field to check out an amazing amount of Jewish-themed films that are out there. So I have the ability to kind of see these movies in advance, and then I have a working relationship with a lot of distributors that produce Jewish films. So we kind of like select between 25 to 40 different movies to kind of narrow it down, because believe it or not, there are hundreds of movies out there. And so then we get the movies, and the committee, we watch the movies in advance, and we kind of break it down to about like 10 to 15 of the strongest like candidates of movies that we think could really work for our festival in Kansas City. And then from there, we kind of break it down by genre. We won a few documentaries, won a couple of feature-length films, and then I kind of use my ability to kind of find some films that haven't been shown all over the country, so that we can kind of add a little exclusivity to the film festival.
Okay, let's move over to January the 30th, the second weekend of the festival. The first film coming up on the 30th of January at 7 o'clock on Saturday night.
It's the KC Women in Film Night.
Right, and what we did is, one of the things we wanted to do with the KC Jewish Film Festival is we wanted to create some partnerships, especially locally. And one of the reasons why we teamed up with Kansas City Women in Film is because it's an organization, a group of women who produce, write, and direct their own film. So we just kind of wanted to, like, extend out, you know, an invitation so that we can sort of create a working relationship. Because hopefully in the future, we have a combination of movies that are released by major studios, movies that are independently produced, and also movies that are locally produced as well.
The films on the 30th are what, Tabitha?
Just Like You, or do you know, Sean, do you know them all by heart?
No, I don't, because this is, the KC Women's Film, it's still sort of a work in progress, mm-hmm. but it's going to be a collection of locally produced films produced by members of the Kansas City Women in Film organization.
The ones that are listed on the website are Just Like You, Film Talk presented by Jen Greenstreet, Some Days Are Bug Days by Mary C. Taylor, House Mother by Anita Cordell, and Glow, which is a documentary that was made possible by a MAC grant.
So all of those are on Saturday the 30th?
Yes.
Right.
So they're shorter films.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all short.
Yes.
Okay. Well, what about January 31st, Sunday, the next day? There's two films on that day as well, 5 and 7 o'clock.
Correct. Above and Beyond is at 5, and the Big Sonia film and special event is at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, and Above and Beyond is a terrific documentary about Jewish fighter pilots who participated in a couple air campaigns in World War II. And Tabitha can also shed a little information on how there's going to be sort of a local tie to that particular documentary.
Yeah, a woman contacted us, Sherry Anton Fassbinder, and let us know that her dad is shown in some of the photographs in the film itself. And when she was in Israel, she was in a museum, Air Force Museum, that she found her dad in there. It's just this really serendipitous, exciting thing. So she's not seen the film on purpose.
Hmm.
She is waiting. She owns it, but she's waiting until that night to come see it in the White Theater and be there and, you know, acknowledge and honor her dad and everything.
That's an interesting story.
Yeah.
All by itself.
All by itself, I know.
Yeah, we actually think it's really, pretty cool, and we're really excited about that. And that's the intent, and that's what's supposed to happen in a festival environment. I mean, that's exactly what we want to have happen, and we want to have happen with every film that we show at the Kansas City Jewish Film Festival. It's where you find a film that, you know, and hopefully it's about a story that people aren't that familiar with, and you introduce them to the story, and you happen to have a local connection to that story, and you come out, and everyone watches the film in a communal environment. And, I mean, that's what festivals are designed to do.
Well, let's jump ahead. According to the calendar I have, performances jump from the 31st to February 15th. Is that correct, Tabitha?
That is correct. Before we jump, though, Sean,
okay,
would you do a couple seconds on Big Sonia? Because that one's pretty fascinating.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The Big Sonia event is actually pretty fascinating. The Big Sonia, and the reason why we're calling it an event is because we're not actually showing a film that night. We're actually showing excerpts from a documentary that's being produced by Leah Warshawski. Now, she's been working on this particular film for 2 or 3 years. It's a documentary about a lady by the name of Sonia, and Sonia is an actual Holocaust survivor, but she's also a local Kansas City resident, and she's this wonderful lady with this huge personality that has a lot of terrific stories to tell about her experiences as a survivor and just her experience as a businesswoman in Kansas City. Now, they're in the final phase of finishing the documentary. It's not quite complete yet, but they're going to show excerpts from the documentary, and then the filmmakers will be there, and Big Sonia will be there for a terrific Q&A after they show excerpts of the documentary.
Yeah,
some people will want to see that just for that.
Yes, exactly.
I'm sure.
Yes.
For those local.
Well, no, it's going to be fun because Sonia, she's gone around and done talkbacks about being a survivor, and she's really, really good at it. She's a fascinating storyteller. So it's actually like a 2-for-1 event. And you get to see excerpts of the documentary they're working on, and then you get to experience Big Sonia, you know, in her talkback format, and she's really good at it.
Okay, that's February 15th. It's a Monday at 7 o'clock p.m. on the festival. Performance, our screenings. I've messed that up so many times. February 16th.
Well, it will be a performance. I mean, Sonia will put it. You can technically call that a performance, yes.
Well, I'm totally wrong. Okay. On Tuesday, February 16th, another film.
Well, so Monday the 15th is Doe. Then Tuesday, February 16th, is The Last Munch. And then the final film is on Wednesday the 17th, the Short Film Showcase.
Yeah. What would you like to say about any of those films, Sean?
I would really like to say a lot about Doe without giving anything away. Doe is one of the films that has blown people away. It's actually played at the majority of the Jewish film festivals that take place across the country. We wanted to show it because audiences rave about this particular movie after they see it. It's about a Jewish baker who befriends a young Muslim boy and begins working in his shop, and they develop this friendship. It's a fantastic, heartwarming movie. It's one of the movies that we really encourage a lot of people to come out and see because it's in English. Now, a lot of the Jewish films that we show are subtitled, because they're usually, you know, in a different language. But this is one of the films that is not subtitled, and I understand coming from my film background that a lot of people, regrettably, sometimes struggle with films that are subtitled. I mean, it is a different sort of watch, but Doe is not subtitled, so that's one of the bonuses of the film. It's a great crowd pleaser. That's another bonus, and it's just a fantastic movie. This is one of the movies that's broken records. Like at the Atlanta Jewish Film Festival, it sold out 7 times. At the Los Angeles Jewish Film Festival, I believe it sold out 5 times. I mean, it's that big of a Jewish hit. So we recommend people come out and see it. It already has a proven track record, and most people that see it have been blown away.
Sounds very interesting. Sounds a very interesting lineup. And, of course, you can learn, folks, about any of these movies that Sean or Tabitha have talked about by going to the website, thejkc.org, and there's a number you can call for more information as well, 913-327-8054 for more information on the Jewish Film Festival. But if you want to get the times and the films for the certain day, the website is probably the best way to go, Tara.
Absolutely.
Is that correct?
Yes, it is. And while you're out there, don't forget we do plays and musicals, too.
You'll have something coming up soon after the 18th.
We do. Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum opens on February 13th. Musical, funny, a little naughty. should be great fun. And then we have Kinder Transport in March. The Irina Sendler Project will happen March 5th. It's a one-time show. We're about sold out, so you book club people, you need to go look for that one. And then Mary Poppins is our show in the summer. It's a partnership. Theater in the Park will be doing it, too.
Yeah, get back a hold of me for the summer.
Definitely.
And we'll talk about it. Because I know the facility at the J is great. They can fly Mary across the stage.
Yes. Yes, we can. And we will.
That'll be just great. I want to thank my guests for being with me today and talking all about the Jewish Film Festival. Sean Edwards, the producer of the festival. He also has a feature on Channel 4. Is it every Friday, Sean?
The screening was every Friday, but we do stuff on a daily basis now. It keeps us pretty busy. It's a lot of fun. But also, one thing before I go, another thing the website has to offer, we have trailers for all the movies being featured this year at the festival. So you can get even a bigger taste to expect by going to the website and watching the trailers from all of our film selections.
Great way to sell it. Show That's trailers right. of the film. That's Great right. way to go. Thanks so much, Sean, for being with us. Sean Edwards,
no, thank you.
Producer of the festival down in Florida, around a bunch of geese, it sounds like, down there.
Yeah, they, you know what? The film year starts fast, so it doesn't take long to get busy.
I'll bet.
Good stuff, so that's exciting.
Thanks for calling in, Sean.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, now, Tabitha, I want to thank you, too, for being here. Tabitha, the Cultural Arts Director down at the J, all the activities they have going on down there, more than just art things.
Oh, tons of stuff. And something for everyone at the J. Sports, fitness, cultural arts, you name it.
The predecessor in your job once said on the air, and I'll repeat it, you don't have to be Jewish
That's
to
exactly
join the Jewish
right. That's
community
exactly
center.
Exactly right. It's what we say, live up.
That's right. Thanks. Thank you so much
Thank
for being
you.
With us as well. Don't forget our arts lineup here on KKFI. We have Arts Magazine on Mondays at noon. Maria Vasquez Boyd with Art Speak Radio Wednesdays at 12 o'clock noon. Other disc jockeys chime in sometimes with arts subjects right here on KKFI. Part of the arts lineup here on KKFI. Proud to bring it to you to cover the arts scene here in Kansas City. Well, the Jazz Insider will not be with us today. And his usual replacement, Dr. Mike, also will not be with us today. So it comes down to management, I guess. So station manager Barry Lee will be with us. And he'll be playing some great jazz for you this afternoon. Jazz from 1 to 3. And then Lady D with the blues from 3 to 6 right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City. Community Radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that crossing the road, I'm Michael Hoag. We'll see you next time.